When we think of this theme, preparing your own godly home, it doesn't matter how old you are right now. Because one day, if the Lord allows, you will have your own home. You will have your own family. Now, that doesn't mean that you might have a wife or a husband or children. For if you live by yourself, you by yourself are family. But if you have a wife, you are a family. So you need to know how you ought to behave yourselves and how you ought to build your own godly home. Building a godly home in 2009 is just as difficult as it has been in the past. When we think of the challenges that we face all the time as families, we have to be on guard because the evil one is trying to destroy the family in this day and time. When we think of God's home, we think of the things that God desires for us to have as being his people. When we think of Satan and how he is trying to destroy our houses, destroy our homes, destroy the family, he's doing a great job in America. And it's time for us as God's people to stand up and not be ignorant of his devices, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 11. We need to be in a particular mindset as it relates to gearing our family and striving to do what God will have us to do, to lead our families in the right way. It's time for our families, God's families, to continue to look to God for everything that we do. I'm reminded of Psalm 127 in verse number 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. It's time for us to allow God to build our houses. It's time for us to have our mindset on Jesus Christ, our Lord. In Romans 12 in verse number 2, the Bible is explicit how we ought to keep our minds on the Christ and not be conformed to this world, but to be ye transformed by the renewing of our minds. And the only way that that can happen, we have to be centered on Jesus Christ. Well, it's an awesome task before us. It's an awesome task because of all of the distractions that we are faced with today. All of the distractions that our young people are faced with. And this is why it is important for us as fathers, as wives, as mothers, as children, to look to God in everything that we do. Well, as we study this topic, preparing for your own godly home, let us notice the word prepare or preparing. I found this word to be pretty interesting, and the reason why, because this word literally means to make ready beforehand for a special purpose or for some purpose, use, or activity. It means to be in a proper state of mind, to work out the details of, to plan in advance. You know, we have a grave responsibility to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And our children have a grave responsibility to obey their parents and the Lord, for this is right. If we're going to be well-pleasing to God, brothers and sisters, friends and family, we must prepare our families because Satan is preparing himself against them. Brothers, sisters, this is a very serious matter. And preparation has and is always been important to our God. Remember in Genesis chapter 6 verses 1 through 13, evil was on the world or in the world continually. And everybody's mind was on evil. But there was one that found grace in the eyes of God, Noah. Genesis 6 verse 14. God told Noah to prepare thee an ark. And notice who got upon the ark. Notice who got in the ark. It was Noah and his family. Oh, I see a good example, a good illustration of someone we ought to follow. Noah. He was able to not just allow his families to be taught, but to guide them, to be an example, to lead them in the right direction. As fathers, we need to do the same thing. As mothers, we have to do the same thing, guiding our families back home to God. And when we really think about that, in Genesis 1 and verse number 26, the Bible is clear that we were all made in the very image of God. In Genesis 2 and verse 7, God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. With these things in mind, we came forth from God. God breathed into us life. We came forth from him. Shouldn't we desire to go back to him? That is the key to life, is getting back to God. And the only way that that can happen, we have to prepare our children. We have to prepare our families. Why? Because Satan is trying to destroy the family. Parents, we must be prepared. We must be equipped. We must be trained. We must prepare our children. We must equip our children. We must lead our children in this effort of going back home to God. Well, as we think about these things, a godly home is not the result of an accident. Think about that. Your family is not going to be godly all by itself. And now I'm talking to the parents now. Because it takes time. We must put time into our families. First of all, we must be godly. We must go to God's word. And we must make sure that we instill his commandments, his principles into our lives, that we can instill it into them. Amen. Preparing our godly homes, our families being godly, or not by a mere accident. But it requires commitment, courage, and here it is, consistency. Now let me say this. This is not part of the manuscript, but it's free. You can have this. Don't give up on your children. I'm speaking personally. Satan is going to come with everything he possibly can to get your children off track. Don't give up. Now to the children, don't you give up, because Satan is going to come at you with everything possible, from drugs and alcohol to everything that is on the computer to illicit sex. He's going to come to you with everything. Don't give up on God. Well, as we prepare our families, what are some characteristics of a godly home? Who is responsible for preparing our families? Why is it important for youth, our young people, to apply godly teachings in their lives now so they can be godly later? What type of characters must a young person have? What type of characteristics should a young person strive to have? Let us study. Let us glean some of these things. And the reason why I want to take my time and let y'all think about those things, because sometimes we lose focus on our families. And the next thing you know, they're 15, 16, 17 years old, and you say, where have the time gone? Well, the family that God builds has some very interesting characteristics. Number one, God's family is faithful in serving God. Number two, God's family is flexible with one another. And number three, God's family is focused on Jesus Christ. Faithful. The primary objective in the life of God's family is to be faithful. Revelation 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, even to the point of death, and God will give you a crown of life. Faithful to God as an individually. Faithful as to God personally, I'm sorry, giving strict attention to his word and to his will. Now, as we think about that particular aspect, giving strict attention to God's word, strict attention to God's will, when we do this, then we can say we're God's family. The world may say you don't have to give strict attention to God's word or to his will. You have enough time to do that later. This is the time to give yourself over right now. James said in James 4 and verse number 14, what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeared for a little while, then it vanisheth away. All we have is now. Young people, today I was checking my emails. And a couple of days ago, an 8-year-old girl went missing. I wonder if her parents knew the day that she gave her mother a kiss that was going to be the last time she saw her. Do not think that you have all your life. You have right now. And right now is all we have to prepare our families so they can go back home to God. We need families and we need every member to be dedicated to denying self and going back to God and following Jesus. In Matthew 16 and verse number 24, Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Jesus wants dedication. Jesus wants determination. Jesus wants your life. Well, as we think about those things, I can't help but think about Abraham. In Genesis 18 and verse number 19, God knew that Abraham was going to command his family. We need more men that's going to stand up and command the family. And let me just say this. It doesn't matter how big your son may get or how big your daughter may get. If you're the man in the house, be the man. Be the Christ-like man. Be the God man in your home. And lead them in the right direction. And this is how Abraham was. Abraham led his family. And the family must have dedicated leadership. Must have determined members if they plan to please the Lord. Deuteronomy 6 verse 1 through 10. Ephesians 5 and verse number 10. We must have the mindset that whatever we do in word or deed, let's do all in the name of Jesus Christ. So number one, God's family must be faithful. Number two, God's family must be flexible. Every family has their potential problems and concerns that they must contend with and must deal with. But we, as God's family, must exercise flexibility and forbearance with one another. In Philippians 2, verses 1 through 4, I love that particular section of scripture of putting others before self. And no wonder the Apostle Paul, who speaks by inspiration, can say in verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mind is that? Putting others before self. What if Jesus was selfish and didn't give his life for us? Where would we be? Every family member must choose flexibility with one another. You must make sure that as you are developing yourselves and as we are developing our children, that we teach them to be flexible with one another, to show love to one another. Well, God's family understands that maturing is taking place. And even though we must discipline our children, we have to encourage them as well. Encourage them to make good, godly decisions. Encourage them even in the midst of challenging times. Well, in Romans 8, verse 31, First John 4 and verse 4, and Philippians 4 and verse number 13, all of those are exhortations. We can do all things through Christ. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, the reason why I'm saying all of these things, because as young people, we live in a time that a lot of things are discouraging. And you need to know that you have a God on your side that can help you in the midst of all of your trials and your tribulations. And as fathers, as mothers, as parents, we must instill this into the lives of our children. Why? Because we want them to have this in their lives later. Three, focus. Focus is crucial in the life of the family because we must pay attention. Pay attention to who? Pay attention to Jesus. Now let's stop here for a second and let's think about this. How many of you are really focused on Jesus? I mean, really, even as parents, how many of us are focused on the Christ? Or are we focused on the things of this world? I truly believe, and I'm not against these things, but just hear this out. I truly believe that the daycares are so full because we have too many individuals focused on their own career instead of their children. And then we wonder why when little Johnny is so angry and mad and upset, he comes. Brothers and sisters, let us stop and think about this for a second. I'm not against daycares. I'm just saying we have to be a little bit more careful. We are responsible for our children, not the daycare owner. As we think about this, we must be focused on the family, focus on Jesus. The family of God must stay centered on Jesus Christ, on the reverence and reverence to Almighty God. It must continue to turn its attention to spiritual matters, spiritual growth, which is only in Christ Jesus. As we think about these things, young people, you must stop now and think about certain things. As parents, we must stop now and think about these things. Let's notice some things as it relates to application. What type of character should a young person have? Why should you have a godly character? Is it really going to benefit? Why should I listen to my parents? What does God know? You know, some of these questions young people ask. We've been 16, 17 before. And when we think about these things, the decisions you make now, especially in the time in which you all live in a very high-tech world, that at the push of a button, all of your information comes to the screen, you have to watch the decisions you make closer. There was a time, before my time, of course, that you made some mistakes and they kind of dealt with it and it was over. But if you make a mistake at 14, 15 years old, it's in the computer, 35 years old, it's going to come back and haunt you. We have to tell our children and instill into them, watch the decisions you make now. And we must instill God's word into their lives, and we must instill, here we go, godly fear into their lives. Well, we must teach them to flee those things that bring reproach upon themselves and on Christ. And concentrate on being faithful to God now, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22. Many believe that Christianity is something that they can do later when you need to do it now. The correct life must be practiced now, not later. Individuals must make sure that they don't make mistakes that's going to cost them later on in their lives. Now, let me say this. There have been individuals who have done things one time and their whole life be affected. Brethren, let me speak candidly at you. We have to warn our children that Satan is not their friend. And those who do evil are not their friends. Evil communication corrupts good manners. It's still in the Bible. We have to tell them, not worrying about hurting our children's feelings. And let me say this. I'm acting like I'm at camp. I know this is a lectureship, but it's almost like I'm at camp here. It's time for us to get back to the attitude that it takes a village to raise a child. Someone ought to be able to correct my child if he's not doing or she's not doing something right. But even in the Lord's church, unfortunately, we don't want individuals saying anything to our children. If my son is in the middle of a street and an 18-wheeler is coming, you better say something. Why isn't it then when sin is bearing down on our children, we just sit and watch? We have to prepare them to look out for one another. Am I my brother's keeper? I sure am. Let us be our brother's keeper. Let us work with one another. Let us have the attitude and the mentality that it does take a village to rear, to raise a child, to understand the times that we live in and that the times are not right. They're not holy. But we need to be as God. We need to be like God. We need to have that holiness in our lives. Peter said, be ye holy even as I am holy. 1 Peter 1 and verse 16. We need to demonstrate love in our lives. demonstrate that attitude of God in our souls? Well, what type of person should a young person be? Number one, you ought to be a person of integrity. A person of integrity. That means when you're in your room by yourself, that you understand that God is watching you. Now, even us as older members have to keep that in mind. In Proverbs 15 and verse number 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. Young people, just because you are young doesn't mean God is not watching you. God is watching everything that you do. And as a matter of fact, we ought to live the type of life that we desire God to keep his eyes on us. But we have to instill these things into our children. We must prepare them to live lives that are holy in the eyesight of God. Number two, you need to be a person of industry. What do you mean, Brother Bonner? You need to have the attitude that you will work. Now, let me say this. There's too many children growing up not desiring to work. And as a minister, sometimes we get people who come for benevolence, and there's nothing wrong with that. But most of the people that come and ask for benevolence where I am are able-bodied individuals, people that could work. We must instill the practice of work into our children. For if one doesn't take care of his own household, he is worse than an infidel. We must instill these principles into their lives. Why? Because we want them to have godly homes. God has always wanted his people to be an asset to society and not a liability. Number three, you must be a person of investigation. Investigating what? Investigating God's word. 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 15. Study, or literally be diligent to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. John 5:39. Investigate, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they that testify of me. Young people, do not wait until you're older to start studying God's word. Study God's word now. Peruse through the Bible. Make sure that you memorize scripture. In Psalm 119 and verse number 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It is God's word that's going to guide us and direct us. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, verse 105. The word of God can be trusted. Psalm 119 and verse number 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Don't you know you can trust God when you can't trust no one else? But we have to instill this into their lives. Young people, if you want your home to be godly later, you must know God now. Don't wait. And let me commend, number one, those who are here. A couple of minutes ago, we were out and saw a lot of children out there. And I was thinking, where we're going, there's going to be some children. And, you know, we need to commend them for at least having the desire to want to come. So we need to encourage our young people, encourage them to be people who are going to make sure that they're going to please the Lord. What type of person must the young person grow into? One must grow into a person who is patient, loving, firm concerning their biblical stance, yet understanding and balanced. 2 Timothy 2:24-26. These characteristics will help one to be flexible when it comes to rearing a family. And anyone who is a father, anyone who is a mother, knows that it takes flexibility to rear families. Know that it takes focus on Christ to rear families. The golden rule applies when it comes to young persons or young people and their future home in the Lord. Finally, one must grow into staying focused or keeping themselves in the mindset of humility in order that they may and will receive instruction. Proverbs 9 and verse 8. Now, when we think about that, humility, that's one of the toughest things for young people. Now, when I say young people, I guess I could put an age on it if I can, from about 12 to 40. That includes me. All right, 50. The reason why I say that is because sometimes if we're not careful, we have the attitude that no one can tell us anything. My parents don't know what I'm going through. They don't understand me. Brothers and sisters, young people, if anybody understands, it's your parents. We've been through some of those things already. And what we want to instill this into you, God's word, that you may be guided in the right direction. And we understand that there is a pull from Satan. Satan is throwing all of his spears at you. But we just want you to trust us. And one thing that is hard is when a child won't trust their mother or their father. Or when they will go to their friends as if their friends have such knowledge and wisdom about a situation. The more I think about it, the more foolish it sounds. Because mothers and fathers have been through those things. And what we're trying to do is keep you from making the same mistakes we've made. Well, when we think about these things, we just want you to be humble. We want you to practice humility right now, to learn humility right now. And the sooner you start to practice this, the better your lives will be. If you truly want to prepare for your godly home now, it's going to take some effort. It's going to take some energy. You're going to have to be efficient in the word of God. Let me say this. There's nothing inherently wrong with Facebook and MySpace and all those other social chat lines. But brothers and sisters, I think we're spending too much time on them. I really think we're spending too much time on that. If we spent as much time in God's word, preparing our families, I believe we will have a more spiritual atmosphere. I know many of y'all are looking at me funny. Let me take my glasses off so I can't see you. But it's true, brothers and sisters. These things are mere distractions for our lives. We need to be focused on the Christ, focused on rearing our families. And it's unfortunate when a pedophile can have more time with your children than you do. We have to prepare them. If we won't, Satan will. Let us prepare our families. Let us take it seriously. For I know for a fact that we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an answer for it. Let us think about those things. Young folk, think about these things now. Think about what type of person you are now. Think about what type of mate you desire. And when you think about these things, think wholeheartedly. Think about someone who loves the Lord. You know, when I counsel individuals, especially young people, they come to me and they say, "Brother Bonner, I'm ready. I'm ready, Brother Bonner. I'm ready to get married." I'm like, "Really? Okay. Do you love this individual?" "Yes, I do." "Do he love you?" Yes, he does. "What do he love God?" "Yes, he does." "Do you?" "Yes, I do." "Oh, okay. Does this man have the type of relationship that he is ready to lead you back home with God? Does he have the type of relationship with God that he can lead you back to the Lord?" Remember, that's where we come from. Hell was not designed for us. Keep this in mind, that when you're ready to pick a mate that loves the Lord. Pick a man that is already on his way to heaven. Don't try to go to the world and take God's word and brush them up and brush them off and make them look good. 9 times out of 10, that don't work. Amen. Young man, if you desire a young lady, make sure she can help you get back home to God. She's an helpmeet. I'm glad you're looking at me like that. We need to think about these things. And we need to prepare our young people to be focused on the Christ. To not get tied down with a man or a woman that don't love God. To instill these godly principles in their lives. That they know without a shadow of a doubt that this is the best person for me. He or she is going to lead me back home to God. And even that is not a guarantee. But at least we want to prepare them to make the best spiritual decision possible. As they're contemplating marriage, we need to keep these things in our minds. We need to make sure that when we're counseling our children, bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that we're showing them the right way, that they are meditating on God's word, that they are looking to Jesus for everything. And parents, we must be those type of people. That they see us leaning on Christ, leaning on God, going to God for everything. This is not simple. This is not easy. But it can be done. We live defeated lives here in America for some reason. For some reason, the first thing that comes to my mind, our minds is, I can't do it. That is furthest from the truth when it comes to God. We can do it. And we must instill this into our young people so they may know that proper preparation is key when it comes to your family. As I conclude, young people, as you are looking for that special person, don't look on the outward appearance. Look at his heart. Look at her heart. You know, I was told a while back that you don't find gold on top of the ground. You gotta dig. You don't find diamonds on the street. You gotta go where diamonds are and you gotta dig them out. I think we're settling. I think we're getting tired as parents. Don't get tired. Young people, listen to your parents, for they love you. I really believe that too many are settling for what Satan has to offer and not what God has to offer. Well, what does God want me to have? Glad you asked. God wants you to have a man or a woman that is going to help you get back to heaven. The question is, do you want what God wants? If not, why not? Think about those things. Don't be deceived by the one who is just an attendee at church. But have your focus on the Christ and the one who has their total allegiance to Christ. Don't be deceived by the one who is just showing up whenever he can and just to get you as their mate. But be looking for the one who is solely committed to Christ. And let me say this. You know, when you're young, you're slim. But after 15, 20, 30, 40 years of marriage, it starts to get a little bigger down here. That's just the way it is. You got to love people because of their heart. Don't look at the outward appearance. Don't be fooled. And let me say this as I close. It is said that the good one always finished last. The good boy, the good girl. I've always heard that growing up. The good one finishes strong. Don't settle. Let us prepare our young people. Young people, make up your mind that you want to be prepared. You want to be a person that God is pleased with. Don't settle. Thank you.